All right, so for our text this afternoon, we are in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, 1 Corinthians 10. And I'm always looking for passages to preach communion messages. And, you know, a number of years ago I had different series that I went through. And, you know, you have communion every month, and so all the easy passages I've done them. so then I always looking, okay, what's the next one? And you can go back and do them again. I realize that. And I have done sometimes. But I'm always looking for a passage that touches on communion itself or on the doctrine of salvation in some way. And the passage that we're going to look at today actually does speak of communion, of the communion service, but it's one that I don't think I've ever heard a communion message from before, because the communion service isn't the main point of the passage. So we're not going to take it out of context, but we're going to turn it sort of upside down, because communion is used as an illustration here to teach a bigger point. We're going to use the bigger point to illustrate communion. So we're going to turn it around, sort of. All right, so I've entitled this Sharing the Body. The passage is 1 Corinthians 10, 14 to 22. And it goes this way. Therefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry. I speak as to wise men. You judge what I say. Is not the cup of blessing which we bless a sharing in the blood of Christ? Is not the bread which we break a sharing in the body of Christ? Since there is one bread, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one bread. Look at the nation Israel. Are not those who eat the sacrifices sharers in the altar? What do I mean then? That a thing sacrificed to idols is anything, or that an idol is anything? No, but I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to demons and not to God. And I do not want you to become sharers in demons. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot partake of the table of the Lord and the table of demons. Or do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? We are not stronger than He, are we? All right, so this passage is in the middle of a discussion about meat offered to idols. This begins in chapter 8 of 1 Corinthians. This passage is mostly misunderstood today, but the early church got the message. The bottom line was, with regard to meat offered to idols, don't do it. And the early church didn't do it. You read the writings of the church fathers, and it's mentioned as something that they kept themselves from. They did not participate in meat offered to idols. There are three reasons in our passage, chapter 8, in consideration of the weakness of the brother. In chapter 9, in consideration of the worth of the gospel. And in chapter 10, in consideration of the wickedness of the heart, is the way I outline it. The end of chapter 10 answers a couple of situational questions related to eating idol meat outside the context of the idol temple. But whenever the meat was known to come from the idol temple, Christians in the ancient church did not participate. They did not consume it. If it was possibly from an idol temple, but they weren't sure, then it's just meat. But if they knew, if it was public, if it was known, then we don't do it. And that was the message of this chapter. And many people, they take the message of chapter 8, make it rule the whole section, and they miss the point of the whole section. Anyway, that's another sermon. That's another 3 or 4 or 5 or 10 sermons that I've done through these chapters. But the most important reason for not participating in the idol meat comes from our passage, where a key concept about communion parallels with the consumption of idol meat. This concept teaches the notion, something that very important to us when it comes to celebrating the communion meal, and it instructs us about something that is happening when we participate in this service. And so our proposition for this message is, in communion, you enter a special sharing with the Lord and with each other. So I've called this message sharing the body. So in communion, you enter a special sharing with the Lord and with each other. This message has 5 points, but they're brief. So we will rush through them. So the proposition of the passage is in verse 14. It says, therefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry. That's the proposition he's working on. It can't be any more plain. Stay away from it. All right? And he just lays it all down, and I put in my notes here, run, do not walk to the nearest exit. Don't go there. This is not for you. That's what he's saying. And he's very, very emphatic. I'm so tempted to start preaching chapter 8, but I'll refrain. So, all right, so the proposition in the passage, no idol meat. All right, so why? The doctrine of communion as an illustration. So we have these terms for communion in here. If you look down to verse 16, I think it is not the cup of blessing, which we bless. All right, so this comes from the name for the third cup of the Passover, from which communion is derived. So during the Passover service or meal, there were three cups that they would sort of ceremonially partake, the Jews would. The third cup is the cup of blessing, which is the one that Jesus used to institute the communion service for his disciples. We're going to read that passage or the account of those words in the next chapter when we actually have our communion service. I always turn to 1 Corinthians 11 for that reading when we do our communion service. And that's this third cup of the Passover that Jesus is sharing with his disciples and making into a memorial for time immemorial for the coming of for the communion. And then the bread we break. So it's not just bread in an ordinary meal he's talking about. It's not, you know, we all had a meal out there just now. We are fellowshipping together. We were breaking bread together is another way you could say it. But it's not that bread. It's not that kind of a meal. This is a special meal. This is that special commemoration of the Lord Jesus and his death and burial and resurrection. Now, there's a spiritual connection made in the bread and in the cup, and that is, let's see, verse 16, is not the cup of blessing which we bless a sharing in the blood of Christ? Is not the bread which we break a sharing in the body of Christ? Now, that word sharing is koinonia, often translated fellowship, okay? And so when we talk about fellowship, we use, in English, we use this word, and it's too weak, really. Because for us, going to Tim Hortons and having coffee is fellowship. You know, our meal at lunch here is fellowship. You know, when we have some kind of activity at church, that's a Christian fellowship. We have people over the home, that's fellowship in English. But in Greek, this word can sort of include that, but it's much more in depth and detailed. If you think about a business partnership where you have two partners, okay, so they if they're in partnership, then actually legally they are very entwined. It's not really a good idea to go into business partnerships, especially with people you don't know really well. Because suppose your partner decides, yeah, I think we should take a loan to buy whatever. Okay, you want to buy some equipment. And so, oh, where did that come from? Oh, I just borrowed the money. We should both. Well, that's the way a partnership works. You now both owe the money, not just him. That's a partnership, you see. That's fellowship. That's koinonia. You're closely tied together. Okay, so that's the idea here. A real partnership, a real participation. So when we drink the cup and eat the bread, we have a real sharing in the Lord Jesus. He is ours, and we are his. Okay, there's a real connection. It's not just, oh yeah, you know, we're having coffee together. Not at all. It's far more tightly connected than that. In Ephesians 6, Paul uses the marriage bond to illustrate the relationship between Christ and the church. So our union with Christ is as close, or probably closer, I would have to say, than the marriage bond. Okay? And then the connection we make with Christ, we share the when we share the bread, is a connection we make with other believers. Look at verse 17. Since there is one bread, see, we're making that connection with Christ. We who are many are one body. Okay, so that ties us together. That's when Christians in faith are taking part together in the communion service. They are saying more than we're just remembering Jesus. We're connected with one another. They are one body. We all partake of one bread. All right? So Paul describes communion in this way for a reason. The communion service isn't the only rite with this significance. Now, he's using it as an illustration. Okay, the doctrine of communion as an illustration. And we're going to make this the big point of this message. But he's using it as an illustration. And he's going to use another thing as an illustration, the sacrificial system of Israel. Verse 18, look at the nation of Israel. Are not those who eat the sacrifices sharers in the altar? They're having a meal with God. Which one is it? Forget what it's called. Is it the fellowship offering? Is that what they call it? Anyway, one of the offerings in particular, you sacrifice the animal, a certain portion of it was burned, and the rest of it was eaten as a meal before the Lord. And so you are in communion with God. You have a sharing. And of course, this ties the whole nation together, right? So that's the same thing is being taught by the Old Testament sacrificial system, the same connection. And so that's point three. See how fast those were? The significance of idol worship as a parallel of communion. Look at verse 19 and 20 then. What do I mean then? That a thing sacrificed to idols is anything, or that an idol is anything? Paul is not saying that an idol has any real spiritual significance. So you'll see around, you know, some people are Buddhists and they'll have a little Buddha, right? Now, that idol is just a little chunk of clay or a piece of wood or whatever it is that's made out of, right? It has no spiritual significance in itself, right? It's just, that was the argument of the strong way back in chapter 8. Look, those idols are nothing. You see? All right? And Paul says, that's right. They are nothing. But, he says, verse 20, I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to demons and not to God. And I do not want you to become sharers, koinonoi, fellowshippers in demons. So here's the point. The Gentiles, when the thing behind their idols are demons, and when they make their sacrifices, they are entering into this kind of spiritual partnership with demonic forces. He says, so here's the deal. As Christians, I do not want you making those kind of partnerships, spiritually speaking. So participating in idol worship, eating idol meat, you make a spiritual connection with demons. That's his point. All right? So that's the significance of idol worship as a parallel of communion. So we're going to use that to illustrate what communion is. We're going back. Our big point is the doctrine of communion as an illustration. And then finally, we're going to talk about the separation between the Lord and idols, and that's in verse 21. He says, you cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot partake of the table of the Lord and the table of demons. So at the same time, it is spiritual confusion to mix these two things together. You cannot drink the Lord's cup and the cup of demons at the same time. You cannot eat the Lord's table and the table of demons at the same time. Why? Because you are partners of the Lord, not demons. He goes on to warn them about the jealousy of God. Do we provoke God to jealousy, the Lord to jealousy? We're not stronger than He is, are we? You just can't do this. So the proposition, in communion, you enter a special sharing with the Lord and with each other. So all of these things, this teaching is in the midst of this teaching about the meat offered to idols. And so that becomes an illustration for us. For us, we're turning it around. We're making that the illustration. And the point that we're making is that in our, when we partake of this meal, we partake of this bread, when we partake of the cup, now we don't teach what the Roman Church teaches. We don't teach what, but even the Lutheran or the Presbyterian churches teach about the table. The table is a memorial. That's what we teach. But in that memorial, we are making a sign, a symbol of a real sharing that we have with the Lord. We belong to Him. He belongs to us. And so we join together with Him. In the 1 Corinthians 11 passage, the next chapter, there's the warning that we should examine ourselves. We should make certain that the way that we're taking part in communion is correct. We should, often preachers will teach you, if you have some unconfessed sin, you need to get it right. Why? Because this partnership with the Lord, we want to be as close to God as we can. We're entering in, we're symbolizing a very intimate connection with God. We're talking about sharing the body. It's His body. We're His body. We are sharing with Him. We're connected with Him. We are partners of the Lord. We belong to Him and to Him alone. And so as a consequence of this, we call Christians to be holy and unspotted from the world. You know, there's all kinds of things in our culture that you could say, oh, it's just, you know, it's just a cultural thing. We can talk about our music, we can talk about the movies, we can talk about all of the things that we do as humans, right? But you know, and you can say, well, those are all just culture. It's nothing. It's like an idol. It's nothing. It's just a thing. There's nothing moral or immoral about it. Well, you can make that argument, but here's the thing. Our culture does not worship the true God. Our world bows to Satan. And our world expresses its loyalty to their God in its culture. And so that's why Christians should have a separate culture, a holy culture. We belong to the Lord. We're sharing the body. Now, you know, there are things that are just human, and we could maybe argue that they are safe. But we need to really examine everything we do and everything we think, because we belong to the Lord. And in this meal, we are partaking of His body and His blood. We belong to Him. We're sharing the body. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Our Father, thank You for this time that we've had this afternoon, thinking about this topic. It is a sober one in many ways. And Lord, I pray that You would help us to faithfully commit ourselves to living a life that honors You, that we're not just taking part in a form and saying we're Yours and then living for ourselves. Lord, I pray that You would help us now to be faithful to You in everything. In Jesus' name, amen.